Anyway, it's no secret. We're going to learn this morning how to fight fair. Now, people tried to soften the title. They said, can we call it like conflict resolution? Something like, I said, no, let's call it what it is. Fighting, but fighting fair. So how many recently, now let's be honest, this is church, so don't lie. How many have recently had a little fight? Put up your hand if you've ever had a little fight. There you go. How many of you maybe had a little fight on the way to church this morning? Don't see too many hands. And the ones I do see, you are sitting by yourself. So there you go. There you go with that right there. Anyway, we're going to talk about fighting fair. We're going to start things off. I'm going to give you two bonus extra special verses this morning. This is like buy one, get two free kind of deal. So this is good. So the first one, this verse is for the guys. It's a bonus verse for the guys. Do we have any guys here this morning? Give me a grunt if you're here this morning, guys. All right, okay, so this is good. This is a verse for the guys. This is found in Proverbs 27:15, okay? It goes like this. A quarrelsome wife is as annoying as a constant dripping on a rainy day. Okay? Solomon had a lot of wives. He knew what he was talking about here. Okay? So a nagging, complaining, critical wife is kind of like a little drip, 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 drip. Can't do it. I should try this side. Anyway, a drip, drip, drip. Okay, now, for the ladies, just in case you're feeling a little mad at me right now, I've got one for you, okay? It goes like this. It is better to have a severe headache than to live with a husband who's a jerk. Hezekiah chapter 4, verse 2. Okay? That's actually not in the Bible. I made that up. If you flip, it should be. It should be in there, though. It should be in there. Anyway, just a little levity there. We can all relate to that kind of thing. How many of you this morning have ever fought over something that's really kind of lame? You know, okay. If we're honest, we find ourselves fighting over things that really don't matter a whole lot. And I think one of the big memories that I have of recent years is a little fight that Sue and I had over something that was really not important. Now, my wife is a bit of a health nut, in case you don't know her. She introduced us all to something that has ruined Saturday morning breakfasts for us boys. Okay, I come from a family that likes pancakes. Okay, and I really feel that I've got the spiritual gift of making pancakes right. Okay, so what you do is you get your frying pan, you heat it up really high, you throw some butter in there, get that butter sizzling, you got your batter is thin, okay? You pour your batter in there, you want it a good size, you want it about, you know, yay big, each one of them perfectly formed and round, right? You get them, they start to bubble, you flip them, boom, stick them on a plate, butter them right away while they're still hot. Get some Canadian-made maple syrup, pour it on there. Eat it. That's the way you do pancakes. Now, my wife, I love her. I got to get some water here. I'm losing it already. I love her. I honor her. I think she's trying to kill me, though. She brings in this stuff, so-called pancake mix. Okay? I swear it must have kale in it somewhere. Okay, it's like gluten-free, it's got quinoa in it. It's called ancient grains. And that's what it tastes like, ancient. Okay? So she's gonna make these. So she's got the pan on the stove and it's on low, and this stuff is like thick. like porridge thick, and she's like glopping it in there in coconut oil, not even butter, like no butter, okay? Glops it in there, they're not round or anything, and then they're not bubbling, they're not sizzling, they're not doing any of that kind of stuff. She flips these like dough balls over, slaps them on a plate, no butter, takes this stuff, it's kind of watery, pours it all over, and here, boys, here's pancakes. And I'm like, that is not pancakes. I don't know what that is, but that is not pancakes. So I'm kind of, I kind of get up there and I'm like, honey, you're doing it wrong. She says, what are you talking about? I said, no, it's not how you make pancakes. And she's like, get out of here. And I'm like, no, you get out of here. And it's kind of like, and she takes some of that glop and like, you know, on my shirt, and I'm like, whoa! And I'm more godlier now than I was before. And I probably didn't say a very godly thing at that point in time. But, you know, $800 later, and we're back in love again. So it's, I mean, that's what it costs for marriage counseling, so it's all good. But, you know, really, I mean, we fight over really stupid things sometimes. And it doesn't take much before you're into an argument and you're not fighting fair. Now, if you're following along with us in our series, we have a verse that we've been kind of keying in on throughout the course of the series. It's found in Ephesians 5, 21 to 33. I'm going to summarize it for you. It says, husbands, love your wives. Love them like Christ loved the church. Love them like you would your own body. And wives, respect your husbands and submit to them, just as the church submits to Christ. We all get into fights. And just the other day, Sue and I got into a fight. And it wasn't too long afterwards that, you know, she came crawling to me on her hands and knees. And she looked under the bed and said, get out from under there! We need to talk! Thank you, I'm here all week. Thank you very much. She told me to tell that joke, by the way. So it's a joke. Didn't really happen. I would never hide under the bed. I would run away. So, but now she's faster than me, so she'd end up catching me, and so that doesn't work either. So I'll probably just hide under the bed. Anyway, I lost where I was. The thing is, we all fight. If not couples, you're going to get into a fight with your friends. If not with your friends, you're going to get into a fight with a coworker or somebody else. I mean, it's going to happen. So what we need to do is we need to learn how to fight fairly. Now, healthy couples fight for resolution. Okay, let me repeat that one more time. Healthy couples fight for resolution. They don't fight to gain a victory. Okay? Unhealthy couples will fight, but they're fighting for a personal victory. Okay? They want to win the argument. They want to look good. They want their agenda achieved. And that's not fighting fair. There's a fascinating study out by a guy named John Gottman, who is a marriage specialist, basically. And he studied couples for 16 years. He watched how they fought. And he could, within 5 minutes, determine to a percentage of 91% accuracy if this couple would make it or not make it, if they would divorce or not divorce, just from watching them for 5 minutes. Not because they fought, but the way in which they fought. He could determine if they were going to make it or not. So, couples, we want husbands to love their wives as Christ loves the church. And wives, we want you to respect your husbands. And so, by doing that, we're going to fight fair. Okay? The verse that we're going to look at this morning is found in James chapter 1, verses 19 to 20. The scripture says, Everyone should be quick to what? Be quick to listen and slow to speak. And what else? Slow to become angry, for a man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. So we're going to break it down. We're going to do a little MC Hammer, break it down. And we're going to break down that verse. Thank you, Kathy, for laughing. God bless you. Rest of you aren't as holy as Kathy is right there. We're going to break it down. Here's the thing. Everybody should be quick to listen. And see, that just doesn't happen. You know, we're not quick to listen. If you're ADD like me, you're not always quick to listen. You know, the good Lord gave us two ears and one mouth. We should spend twice as much time listening than we do talking. And yet, we don't do that. Now, the other day, I was on my phone, and I was in a text message conversation going on. Doesn't happen all that often, but I was just, you know, on my phone. And Sue comes in, she says, hey, I need to talk to you about something. And I'm like, yeah, go ahead. Are you listening? And so, are you sure you're listening? Yeah. The little man inside my head is saying, dude, you can do more than one thing at a time. My little man is an idiot. He's a liar, lying man. And so she proceeds to tell me all this stuff while I'm text messaging and, you know, da-da-da. She just basically finishes telling me everything. I finished the message, and immediately I ask her a question about the very same thing she just told me. Right? And so she's like, you didn't listen. You weren't listening. You know, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, So not too long afterwards, I come up to her. I've got something I need to tell her. She's on her phone doing a text message. And I'm thinking, all right. And I said, hey, I got something I need to tell you. She goes, go ahead. I said, but you're texting. She goes, I'm listening. Go ahead, tell me. I'm like, okay. So I tell her the whole thing. I'm like, okay, you know, this is it. Da-da-da. And she's still like, and so then I said, okay, so what did I say? And she proceeds to tell me exactly, word for word, everything I just said. Women can't live with them. Enough said. So there's a little difference there. But gentlemen, we're really not very good at listening. We're not. When we start to fight, we need to stop and really listen. Focus in and really, really hear what the other person is saying. Here's what the scripture says if we don't do it. Proverbs 18:2 says, A fool what? Finds no pleasure in understanding. Okay? You're going to be foolish if you don't stop and listen. If you don't stop and try to understand where this person is coming from. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. Okay? When we're fighting, what we're really trying to do is get our opinion across. We're not concerned about understanding the other person. We just want the other person to understand us. If we stop first and listen, we could probably avoid a fight. The fool's like, hey, I don't really care what you're saying, but I'm going to tell you what I'm thinking. And that's often what happens in a fight. There's a couple of things that I learned in seminary when I was taking classes in counseling. I'm gonna share them with you. It's really very, very, very simple, very easy to do. And we call it parroting. Not parenting, parrot, as in the bird. Parroting, okay? So what do you do is the parrot keeps hearing something over and over and over again, and then the parrot just basically repeats back what he's heard. So you do that in counseling. So you're listening to the person who's telling you their problem, and you're listening and you're listening, and then you say, what I hear you saying is this. Okay? And you repeat back to them what you just heard. It's great. It's a great way to work. And it's a great way to listen. So, to use it as an example, I might say, so Sue, what I hear you saying is, when I don't put down the toilet seat, that makes you mad. And Sue would say, yes, you heard me. That's good. Now start doing it. Okay, yes, okay. Right. And you make it clear. If you heard wrong, the person will indicate it back to you. No, you didn't hear me right. I said this. And so then you repeat. Okay, do you mean what I'm trying to hear is that this makes you angry? Yes. This makes you sad when I do this? Yes, yes. Okay, parroting. You listen and you repeat back to them what you've heard. It's a great tool. It's a very simple tool. It's a great tool. Okay, this next step, it's huge. It's a great way to minister to the person. Okay? You don't have to agree with the issue, but you have to validate the feeling behind the issue. Okay? Stop and listen. Validate what they're saying. You don't have to agree with it. You might be completely the other way. You might say, well, that doesn't make me angry. That doesn't make me sad. It doesn't matter. You're validating how they feel, not how you feel. Okay? The second thing that the scripture teaches us is that we need to guard our words faithfully. Okay? Guard them faithfully. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to speak. I love Proverbs 21:33. The scripture says, watch your tongue. Watch your tongue and keep your trap shut. Keep your big mouth shut and stay out of trouble. Amen? Amen. I mean, it's a great verse. Not a good verse to quote when you're having a fight. Don't start quoting that then. Shut your trap! No. No, not a good verse. Don't use it during a fight, but a good verse to memorize nonetheless. Watch your tongue. Watch your mouth. Keep your mouth shut. When you're in a fight, do this. I'm telling you. Force yourself. When you're about to say something, ask yourself two questions, okay? Always. Before you're going to speak, in a bit of an argument, in a fight, in a discussion, think of two things. Number one, ask yourself this. Should I say it now? And should it be said? So the first one, actually, I reversed it. Should it be said? That's number one. Should it be said? And should it be said now? Okay? Should I say this? And should I say this now? Okay, we were running late one time. We had to get to the airport in PG. We're running late. So we're all scrambling around, you know, getting all things ready. And Sue goes, is the bed made? Did you make the bed? And I'm like, in my head, I'm going, we're going on vacation. We're going to be gone 2 weeks. Why do we have to make the bed? We're not sleeping in it. And I didn't listen to number one. Should you say it? But I did. I said, why do I have to make the bed? Is some burglar going to break into the house and come downstairs and notice that our bed isn't made? And she says, just do it! And then I didn't listen to the second part. Should it be said now? And I kind of mumbled under my breath something like, psycho. Okay, men, learn from my mistakes. Don't ever call your wife a psycho. Not a good idea. Should it be said? No. If the answer is no, don't say it. Okay, the little man inside your head, he's a lying man. Don't always listen to him. Okay, should it be said? If he says, yeah, go ahead, say it. No, don't listen to that guy. He's a jerk. Should it be said? No. If the answer is no, then don't say it. Should it be said now? That's the next thing. Could it wait for a better opportunity to say it when things aren't as heated or intense? Maybe we should save that for later. Might not be a bad idea. Sorry, I gotta take another drink here. Should it be said? Should it be said now? Two things to go with. There are some things that need to be said, but maybe not in the middle of a fight. Stay focused on the issue. Don't bring up new issues. Resolve that one issue, then you can move on to some other things. Okay? Those things. Recently, I got some really good advice from another couple that have been married 25 years, just as long as Sue and I have been. And it's good. It's kind of a two-parter as well. The first part is something that Sue and I do. And then the second part is from this couple. So the first thing is work on resolving conflict during times of peace. Okay? Work on your marriage during non-conflict times. So when the kids are in bed, when you're out on a walk or you're going for a run together, or when you're driving down the highway or when you're grocery shopping, during non-conflict times, and hopefully grocery shopping isn't a non-conflict, is a non-conflict time, but anyway, find a time that's no stress and it's time that you're alone and you work on talking about some of those issues. Okay, and here's the second tool that I learned from this couple is during those times, sit down with your spouse, your friend, whoever, and say, can you give me three ways that I've been a blessing to you? Okay? So husbands, you ask your wife, honey, give me three ways that I've been a blessing. Okay? And wives, you're probably going, that's really hard. Three? Can I just give you one? No, 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 come on. I know he's an old goat, but you probably can come up with at least three ways that he's been a blessing to you, okay? We all need to do that. Work on that. And then the next question you ask is, are there three ways that I can be an even bigger blessing to you? So husbands are going to do that, and then the wives are going to do that. And what you've done is now, when you've started with a positive. Okay, three ways I've been a blessing to you. So that's a positive. You've created that nice, safe environment. You've kind of said, hey, here's what you do that's good, that's right, that's helpful, that's beneficial. Okay? Now, you're open to hear how you can be even better and go further. So it creates that really great environment for doing that. So three ways that I've been a blessing and three ways that I could be a bigger blessing. If you could do this, if you could do that. Okay, I'll give you an example. So if I ask you that question, okay, can you give me a way that I've been a blessing to you? And she might say, when you make the dinner, when you make dinner for all of us and then you clean up after yourself, it really gets me excited. It's a real blessing. And I'm like, ooh, here's some grub, and to the pots I scrub, woohoo, yeah. Because really, I don't know. I don't really know that that's a blessing to her. I mean, and if you're like me, you're as thick as a brick, and you don't know half the time when you're doing something good and when you're not. So this way, at least you have an idea that, hey, they like it when I do that. You know, that shows them that I love them and care for them and when I do these things. So then how can I do that better? You know, it's all good. And then vice versa. Wives, you're sharing with your husbands, you know. They say, hey, when you do this for me, honey, it's a real blessing to me. and you're talking, and it's non-confrontational time that you're talking. Should it be said now? Husbands, love your wives. Wives, respect your husbands. Now, if you follow these rules, and even if you do it, you're still going to fight. It happens. We're sinful people. Devil wants to get a foothold somewhere in there, and you're going to fight. So, I mean, that's just the way it is. And that's the one thing, too, that we need to realize, okay? Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. We're going to get angry. There's going to be times where we're going to get angry. We're going to start to kind of lose it a little bit. And we'll get to that in a second. But here's some ground rules to lay down. Just some things that Sue and I have come up with that we try to work in terms of the ground rules for fighting. If you're not married, write these down. Talk to them with the person that you're dating or your fiance or whatever case. Set some rules early on, and you're good. It's always a good thing, okay? First thing, never call each other names, okay? Don't call each other names unless it's, you know, your kind of pet name, you know, Susie Q, Sparky, you know, the cute little names there. That's okay. That's good. Poop head is not a term of endearment. That doesn't count, okay? Don't call each other names. Number two, never raise your voice, okay? Raising your voice does not help the situation. Step back, count to 10, take a deep breath, breathe out, pray 14 times, pray in tongues, I mean, whatever it takes, do whatever it takes, don't raise your voice. Never get historical. Okay, wait. Don't you mean hysterical? No, I mean historical. Don't go back to the past and bring it up. Okay? I remember back in 1992, you did this to me, blah, blah, blah. Okay? Don't do that. Don't go there. Okay? 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love keeps no records of wrongs done. Okay? Don't get historical. Don't start bringing up the past. Okay. Next one, never say never, never say always, and never say your fault, okay? You never do that. You never, 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 blah, 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 okay? You always leave the toilet seat up, okay? You always, blah, 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 fill in the blank, okay? We don't always do that. We don't. It's never always my fault kind of thing, okay? And don't use that, your fault. It's your fault that we're in this mess. It's your fault we ran out of gas. It's your fault, blah, 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 okay? Those aren't helpful. They're not going to make the situation any better. And it's not showing the proper way to communicate when you're doing that. All right. Next one, never threaten to divorce. Okay, if you're a Christian, you've got a godly marriage, you don't go there. You do not go there. That is a low blow in fighting fair. Okay, you made a commitment before others, and most importantly before God, that you were going to love one another and you are going to be committed to one another till death do you part. For a Christian, that's not an option. You do not threaten divorce. Okay? That's a low blow. And finally, this one's important, take notes. When you're fighting, don't ever quote your pastor. Whether it's me, Will, Dave, JD, don't bring us into the fight. You got yourselves into that mess. You get yourself out. Okay? Leave me out of it. I'm at home trying to feed my dog ancient grain pancakes. All right. Stop, listen carefully. Number two, guard your words faithfully. And finally, if you're taking notes, we're going to learn how to handle anger righteously. Handle our anger righteously. This is important because we're going to get angry, but we need to handle our anger by being led by the Spirit. So James 1:19 says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and what else? Slow to become angry. It's okay to get angry. You can be angry as long as you don't sin, okay? Anger is kind of a byproduct of sin. Anger is not sin itself. It's a byproduct of sin. And I know what some of you are saying. You're going to like, listen, that's not easy. Yeah, it's true. It's not. But don't get angry. Try not to get angry. There's some things in marriage that both husbands and wives, we're going to have to let it go. We're going to just have to let some things go. You know, it's not worth dying over that hill sometimes. You have to think about it. Is this hill worth dying over or not? That I have to eat ancient grain pancakes? Is that really a big deal? Can I just, like, stomach it? Literally, stomach it and go for it? When Sue recently has talked to some ladies and sharing kind of what she's learned in 25 years of marriage, one of the things she said, look, men are men. They're going to do some really weird things because they're men. You just have to let it go. And then she turns into Elsa. Let it go, let it go, la 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 la. But she makes a strong point. Men and women do some weird things. There's some things that my wife does I just can't get my head around. I'm like, what in the world? Why are you doing that? And she looks at me and she says, the guy's a baboon. Why does he do that? But you let it go. Some things, just let them go. Okay? Be slow to anger. In your anger, if you get angry, don't sin. A lot of people don't realize it, but it's okay to get angry as long as you don't sin, okay? Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Okay, so let me just stop right there. Let me say to some of you, if there's one point that you get this morning, get this, okay? The reason why you don't let the sun go down on your anger is because of that next part. And so by doing, give the devil a foothold. Okay? If you go to bed angry, what happens is that next morning you wake up and that little problem has now gotten a little bigger. And every day and every hour that you don't resolve that issue, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and you've created a monster. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, and then so doing, give the devil a foothold. If you don't resolve it, the devil's got some ground, and that ground's just going to get bigger. Now, Sue and I have lived this out. We have not gone to bed angry. Now, there's been days where we haven't slept. Okay? But we have worked it out. We have resolved the conflict. Do it. It's important. Don't let the devil get a foothold. Okay? Here's another little thing that you can do. Okay? Pray and talk together daily. Find some time where you're praying and talking together. Because here's the thing. It's really hard to be mad at a person when you have to pray with them. Right? You know, you kick that person in the butt and then you go, okay, come here, brother. Let's pray with you. Let's pray together. Really hard to do that. Especially the person that just got kicked. It's really hard. You don't want to pray with that person. You're just like, ow, why'd they do that? But it works. If you're praying and you're talking together, it's really hard to be mad at that person when you're praying. it's really hard to have an intimate relationship with God when you're dealing with some unforgiveness and bitterness over here. Right? It doesn't work, does it? So, don't let anger, don't go to bed angry, don't let the devil have a foothold in that way. You can be angry, but don't sin. Don't react in emotion, rather respond in the spirit. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12:21. See, the problem is we react. It's a knee-jerk reaction. We react right away. But what we need to do is respond. Instead of react, we respond. Respond in the spirit. Okay? We love our wives. We respect our husbands. We're not going to let our spiritual enemy get a foothold, and we're going to do all things right. Okay, I'm going to wrap up here pretty quick. I just want to give you four things in terms of when you're fighting, watch for some of these things to happen. Now, don't start pointing them out and saying, oh, you're doing this, oh, you're doing that, because again, don't quote your pastor. You're doing exactly what Pastor Bear said you weren't supposed to do, blah, blah, blah. Don't go there. But just watch for these things to happen. And if you see these things happening when you're fighting, when you're having a discussion, get some help. Seriously. Number one, get some help from God. Say, God, we need help. Admit it. Okay? And number two, you might need a little more help than just this message or something. Okay? There is a marriage workshop that's coming up in Prince George at College Heights Baptist Church next month. We've got some information about it in the foyer. So if you kind of think, hey, we could benefit from that, it's just one evening, it's a Friday night. Let's see if I have the date in here somewhere in my notes. Maybe, I don't know. If I come across it, I'll let you know. June 9th, thank you, Wes. Take advantage of it. Okay, so there's three things, or four things I want you to look for in your fighting. Don't do these. Okay, these are no-nos. Number one, criticizing. And criticism is different than complaining. Complaining is like, you know, there's no gas in the car. I'm mad because you didn't fill it up. You know, that's a complaint. Criticism is more like, you never, see those key words there? Never, always, your fault. You never remember anything. You can't be counted on to do anything right. You're irresponsible. See, complaining is, you're talking about a situation. Criticism is you're attacking the person's character. There's the big difference. It's a character attack. Okay? Don't do that. Contempt. Contempt is composed of a set of behaviors that communicate disgust. It includes, but is not limited to, sneering, sarcasm, name-calling, eye-rolling, mockery, hostile humor, and condescension. These are all from that Dr. Gottman, the marriage specialist, by the way. That kind of thing doesn't move towards reconciliation. That just kind of fuels the fire. You know when you're talking to somebody and they just roll their eyes and it just gets you, you know, oh, dear, don't roll your eyes at me, you know, that type of thing. It just makes the situation worse. Defensiveness. Okay, this goes all the way back to the early days of man. We see this in Genesis, okay? Defensiveness. Basically, it's saying is, it's not my fault. It's their fault. You know? So God's talking to Eve. They got a little conflict resolution. Hey, what'd you guys do? Hey, the serpent, Eve says, deceived me. It's his fault. He did it. Right? And then God says, Adam, what's the deal here? And Adam goes, it's not my fault. The woman blames her. That you gave me blames God. You know, it's not my fault. It's her fault. It's your fault. Right? So you get on the defensiveness. You're saying, hey, you know, it's not my fault. He's a jerk. He's got the spiritual gift of being an idiot. You know? defensiveness. And the last one is stonewalling. Okay? And this is actually probably the most, it's kind of a trend. It starts with the criticism, and then it gets to the contempt, and then it gets defensive, and then you get to this fourth stage, and this is the hardest stage to have to deal with. Stonewalling. Stonewalling. And 85% of marriages where there's a problem, 85% of those, it's the husband that does this. 85% of the time, stonewalling. And that basically means they're done. They've shut down. They don't care anymore. So they don't react, they don't respond, they step out of the picture, they're done. Okay? You don't care anymore what the partner is saying or doing or anything, and you just turn away from the conflict and from the relationship, and you disengage. And that's stonewalling. If you see any of those four creeping up, get some help. Okay? Get some help. Number one, get help from God. Number two, maybe get some professional help as well. Okay, now, here's the thing. I've talked a lot about, you know, little problems like pancakes and, you know, maybe you have those little problems in your marriage. You know, I don't like the way he chews his food in public, you know. Or, you know, I don't like the fact that she has a whole closet strictly for shoes. Like, that really bugs me. Okay, those are little things. Those are things that, you know, let it go. But, yeah, they can be kind of problems. But I also know that there's some of you out there that are dealing with so much more than that. Okay, you've come home and you've caught your husband watching porn. Okay, or you've come into a situation where you found out that your spouse has cheated on you. Okay, I understand. There's two big spans here, okay? There's like really, really big, big, incredibly hard problems, and there's some things that we could all probably just let go, right? And I'm not trying to make light of any of these things, because they all kind of cause conflict and issues. But no matter what it is that you're facing, God is bigger than that, okay? We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. All things are possible with God. God designed marriage to work. God wants you to have a beautiful, wonderful marriage. He wants all your relationships to be great and conflict-free. But what do we have to do? We have to, husband, love your wives. As Christ loved the church, he was willing to die for the church. He died for the church. Are you willing to go that far? Do whatever it takes to love your wife. And if you're doing that, then the next part is so easy for the wife to do. Wives, respect your husbands and submit to them as the church submits to Christ. They go hand in hand. You see, it's like this. If you're working on your relationship with God, okay, here's the wife. She's working on her relationship with God. Here's the husband. He's working on his relationship with God. God is here. And as you move closer to God, you're moving what? Closer together. Okay, that's the secret. That is the secret. If you're moving closer to God, the two of you as individuals, as you're coming together closer to God, you're going to become close together with one another as well. Okay? With Christ, all things are possible. With Christ, any marriage can be healed. With Christ, your marriage can be healed. Always confront to heal, never to win. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because of this, you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. Confront to heal, never to win. Confront to heal, never to hurt. Do that. And forgive and apologize. Be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ Jesus has forgiven you. How much has God forgiven you? As far as the east is from the west, never ending. That's the way it needs to be for us as well. going to call the worship team forward. As they're coming up, when we're fighting, what we need to do is to stop being across the table from each other. Okay? We don't want that. What we want is for both of you to be on the same side of the table. Okay? It's not about who can win the victory. It's about how we can resolve this issue together. And we're going to fight. But we're going to fight fair. And we're going to fight for our marriages because the devil wants to destroy them. But God wants us to have the best that we possibly can have. Marriage is supposed to be heaven, a little bit of heaven on earth. It's not supposed to be the other place. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives, respect your husbands. Submit to them as the church submits to Christ. God wants you to have a beautiful marriage, and he will give you the help that you need to succeed and do it. It's what he wants. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would give us hope, that you would give us healing, that you would bring restoration, that you would bring forgiveness today where they're needed in marriages. And whether you're married or not, all of us have challenges when it comes to relationships at one time or another. And for those of you, I would say, can we all be more godly in how we handle conflict? Can we all be a little slower to speak, quicker to listen? Can we all handle anger righteously? And can we all want to grow in our ability to handle conflict? Lord, would you lift our hearts towards you, that we would draw closer to you, and in so doing, draw closer to one another. And I just want to pray for those that are struggling this morning. If you're struggling this morning, you say, hey, I heard what you said, Pastor Bear, and I totally agree with you. I'm there. I need some help in that area. Just raise your hand. I just want to pray for you. Just raise your hand to say, hey, you spoke to me this morning. God's word came through. God, you're telling me that I need to deal with some of these things. If you want some help this morning, just raise your hand. God will see it. Nobody else is looking around. Just raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you for those hands. In the name of the Son, in the name of the Father, thank you, Lord, for planting those ideas in our hearts. And we thank you, God, that your word never returns void, but always brings a harvest. And I pray that in your presence, you would start to work on us. And God, that we wouldn't react in the flesh, that we would respond by your Spirit. God, I pray especially for those that are married, that where there has been sin, that there would be forgiveness. And God, where there is bitterness, that there would be healing. And God, I pray especially for those that feel like they're on the edge and they can't make it. God, I pray that somehow, in your presence, through your word, in your Spirit, that you would give them hope that all things are possible. And God, we commit to seek you. We commit to love and respect each other. And we commit to fight fair in our marriage. To you be the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.